Gary saw what our daily spark was this morning, and you know, Gary and I spoke for a half hour the other day, and had a really good conversation about what we were, you know, doing with this and stuff, and thought it was just a good conversation, Gary, you know, and so we really tailored this one. And, you know, funny enough, Tom Ferry put, you know, on his Instagram yesterday, make your calls. If you don't, to your past clients, someone else will. Like, so it was actually pretty relevant to throw in there.
Right. By the way, someone just joined us.
That's okay.
Rockin' Riggins.
Aww.
It's my new pooch.
Oh, how cute.
Very fine. Well, he likes the action. One thing I was thinking about this morning, I actually have a friend staying here with us. Her name's Danielle Garofalo. She's big in the real estate eco space. And we were just talking about, you know, real estate's really a game. And there are certain fundamentals to that game that have worked for since the beginning of real estate agents. And then there's things that are always evolving. I mean, it's similar. If you think about like golf, golf's the same, absolute same game that it's always been, but now they don't play with wooden clubs and a bunch of schlubs drinking. That's not who's winning the game. When Tiger Woods started that game, all of a sudden started working out. No one really associated working out with winning at golf, but he figured something out that no one else did. If I am in the absolute best shape of every golfer when it's the fourth day and the fourth round, at the very end, when it matters, they're going to be exhausted and they are not going to be performing at the peak level, and I am going to outperform them. And that probably really was his edge. Now, everyone who plays golf on a competitive level, with the exception of a few people, are elite athletes. The same thing happens with football. You know, football players, I mean, like college, they'd go play a game and then they get hammered and they eat pizza and they do all kinds of crap. And people are not, that's not what professional and competitive athletes do anymore. The new trend is like sleeping as much as possible with ice beds and massage. And they are literally, everything that's going into their body, it's like fuel. This is a new game. Now, football is still the same goddamn game. Golf's the same game, but things have changed. So it's really, we're going to talk today about fundamentals that have always worked and that'll continue to work to the end of time. And the one thing when I start talking to people about like getting in the business, or if their business just is not happening, the first thing I always ask them, I go, do you have a CRM? And they may say yes, they may say no. I go, because you need to get every lead, every human you know, and every lead in one place. I am sure there are people here that have leads in their CRM. They have leads in an email. They have leads or a text. They got some note on social media that could potentially be a lead. Their mom has something to tell them. They have voicemail messages that they're sitting there. And that's where all this shit is sitting. You need to be able to capture everything that's potentially a lead or potentially just a person to be on your list. And they need to be in one place. So I would tell, if everyone hasn't done this, I would highly recommend it. There is money in what I'm going to tell you right now. So make sure all your people are in one place. Make sure you have everyone's email and everyone's phone number. And then get the address where they live or address of the real estate they own. There's a lot of ways to do that. I'm sure public records we can all access pretty easily. I would also check it through the MLS. Every human being that you know have their address, and there's a lot of ways to figure that out. I'm sure Troy can help you with that. And go do a search in the MLS. See if their house is on the market, has been on the market in the last 5 years. Look in the public records when they owned it. All this is good information. Every person you know is going to eventually buy a house and or sell a house. The thing you don't want to happen, or you might kill yourself, is when somebody you know ends up buying or selling a house, and then they go, oh, you're in real estate? I didn't know that. I would have called you, or I thought you might be too busy, or whatever the hell they say. that is the worst feeling in the world. So if you went through, whether it's 50 or 100 or 200 or 400 people, and I do this over and over again myself. If you make sure you have all their addresses and just search them through the MLS, I guarantee if you have at least a couple hundred people, there are people right now in this database that their house is probably for sale. And in the market we're in now, there's a chance, of, and not a small one, that that house might expire. And what I do, if any, I always have about 10 or 12 people, I didn't get the listing or they never considered me, that I am tracking. And I do a search on my MLS. Let's just say it's 1234 Main Street. I type in 1234 Main Street. I don't say active. I don't say pending. I just want to, everything that happens with that address in the MLS, I want to know about. And I'll get alerts. So, and the other thing I'll do, now you guys might be in areas where you are working in 1 square mile and you know every house there. I do not work in that world. I work in Hidden Hills. I work in Calabasas. I work in Beverly Hills. I work in Malibu. I'm all over the place. So I do not have all the comps at all the time in every price range. Last year, I sold a house for $1 million. I sold a house for $50 million. I'm all over the place. But so let's just say there's someone I'm tracking. They don't know I'm tracking, by the way. I will do a search for, if I was looking at that person's house, the comps. And what I consider a comp for me is the houses that people would be looking at if they were looking at that house, or the houses that have sold for people who would have also considered their house. So I will be on top of this one person, and I have this with, you know, at least a dozen at any time or more. I'll do a search on their house as if I was a buyer, and or I had that listing and I wanted to know the market. So imagine this person you haven't talked to in a year. You know their house is on the market. Every time it goes up, it goes down, it expires, it cancels, they change photos. You see it just while you're looking. And you also know about the house across the street that sold a week ago. And you, so if you know the market that well, and then you run into them at the market, hey, Susie, how you doing? Great. And I go, what are you doing? Oh, well, I'm selling real estate. I go, I know that your house is on the market. And you know, the new pictures you did, I think look really good. I know you've made that change. But did you know the house across the street sold a week ago? And I just thought you had a better lot. Your side of the street's better. When you have this conversation, they think you know this about every house on the planet, not just theirs. And that, I literally plan for that. But I wouldn't be doing that unless I literally do. I mean, I've been sober for 37 years. And in AA, when you get sober, one of the things they do after you get your head out of your ass is you do an inventory of like thoughts, fears, feelings, everything. So you just have an understanding of what you have. Any good business, they do an inventory. It's very important to know what you have. So to be able to have an inventory of who you know or don't know and to start working it, that's the foundation of your business. And I will tell you something, if you've got this great system where everyone you know is in one place and you start marketing to them and you're researching them and you know where they are, when you get a new, first of all, you'll think of everyone as a lead. How can I add to my list? I have 325, I want to get to 400 in the next 90 days. Everyone you'll consider a lead, everyone you meet, you want to get them on, and you have a place to capture it and something to do with it. You're not going to be that motivated to capture new people if you do nothing with the current people you know. You need a system, and then it becomes this game. And leads, I get this all the time. They go, God, because I say leads are a dime a dozen. Nothing's easier than getting a lead. And they go, well, maybe it's easy for you. And the reality is that people just don't know what a lead is. If you run into your neighbor and they say, I'm being transferred and my company is just going to make up the difference. I need to sell my home and I want to put it up under market. We need to get out of here in a week. That's not a lead. That's a gift from the real estate gods. If you run into your neighbor and you ask how they're doing, and he goes, well, I'm doing okay, but I'm having chest pains. That's elite. And I'm being silly, but I'm being serious. We, well, in my market, might be more exaggerated than yours, but the gestation period of the, what I consider a lead when someone says something to me, to when they're, we have that first conversation or I get that first, you know, information to actually the deal happening, is often years, which sounds painful, but guess what happens? If you're in this business for any period of time, which all I'm sure all of you are planning on being or are in already, the pipeline fills up. And then you end up just getting calls and inquiries and opportunities that come up. You got to build up that pipeline of people and information and things and have all these people that think you're their agent. So there are so many clues that people are in that stage where somewhere in the funnel of going to buy or sell a house. All those people you need to be very, very aware of. And you need to become their agents now, not when they're going to list their home. I remember when I was, I've had many, many times I've had to rebuild. And I remember this one guy or these several people, I'd have people I know and they'd always just, before I could even make the call, they've got the house on the market. And I even knew it was coming up and they had the house on the market because they've been working on these people for years. They're not magicians. They don't have some magic formula where they know where to show up at what time and they just have all these opportunities. They have been working on these people for a long time. So that is another big part of it. So you look at your sphere. Everyone in your sphere is going to buy or sell a house in the next probably decade. And some of them will be tomorrow and some of them will be, you know, it's a constant process. And you've got to get a hold of these people and start the conversation and having become their agent long before they hire you, long before they need it. If you start, I mean, there are people that pick people off at the very end, and that's, hey, listen, that's awesome. If you can find this constant source of people that are at the very bottom of the funnel that don't know any real estate agents, good luck. I mean, that's, it happens to all of us. We all get that moment where we meet the right person at the exact right time, and they are, you're not competing with other agents. But I think one of the real keys is just getting people way early on. Hey, listen, during this process, you are going to meet people and run into people and have opportunities that are at the bottom of that funnel and they're ready to go. But the ones that aren't, that's going to feed your whole business for the next 20 years. We're not, you know, hey, listen, there's some things we all want to, I'm sure, especially right now, want to get deals done now. And that's important, but the best way to even get deals done now is just to look at everything, because you never know when someone goes from, yeah, we're not really in the market, to we got to go. Things change real quick. So I know this is a pretty short thing here, but that's my shtick for the morning.
I think that was all fabulous. So I got two questions for you.
Okay.
How often do you touch base with your sphere of influence?
So I've got, and by the way, so I have all my people in one place. There's people on that I haven't talked to for years. There's people that I talk to five times a day. You know, depending on who they are and where on that funnel they are, it depends. Like, where, if someone's ready to list their home, I want to talk to them so much and be so engaged with them, they have no time to talk to other agents. If someone is a year or two away from possibly something happen, it'll be a different thing. But the one thing I want to be with everybody, and I'm not perfect, there, I would say half the people on my list, I've been remiss on, and I need to do one of two things. I need to be in touch with them more often, or I need to take them off the list. Because the one thing is, if you have a big enough list and you've had it for long enough, you rank them. I have lists that are like, these are the worst possible leads there are. And just obviously they get less attention. Now, the one thing I do, which is just interesting, just you just never know. The lead that's a shitty one now, I go, that's not a good lead. It's a lead, but it's not good. 5 years from now, it might be the hottest lead you have, and you still have them marked as a shitty lead. So sometimes I'll call my best leads, the ones I've been talking to, the ones closest to doing a deal. And sometimes I'll say, you know, I'm going to take an hour today, and I am going to look and call up and contact what I think the absolute worst possible leads I have. And I'll either get rid of them because they're that bad, or maybe shit has changed, but I need to get an update. So if I did everything I taught people to do, you know how rich I'd be? So I really need to even mine my database more than I do by a long shot. This is that, you know, this is a art. It's not a science. And I'm constantly saying, how do I improve what I do? And I'm constantly learning, going to classes, and kicking my own butt. And the reason I do these things, it's not, I'm not some wonderful person. When I teach people what I know, I'm student number one. I mean, I am going to today go, okay, I got to go through my list of my shittiest leads and contact these people I haven't talked to in a while. I need to do that. There's opportunities where I need to thin out my list.
So is that your takeaway from today's call, is to go through your old list?
Well, it's not an old list. I need to go. Right now, I'm in a big transition. I created my own CRM I've been using for about 8 years, and I'm just switching to Follow Up Boss.
That's amazing. Now,
so as a result of switching from this CRM that I created to Follow Up Boss, every single person on that list I'm going through with absolute scrutiny. I bet you of my 400 people that I consider a lead in one way, shape, or form, maybe 20% of them are literally just DOA. And maybe there's 20% that I haven't talked to that are someone that really should be closer in that rotation. And so it's a, you know, one thing, the way I treat my database is it's living, breathing, it's active. It's everyone is changing where they stand in terms of urgency, quality, intent. It's always changing. Now, the higher the price point, the more options people have. Maybe we'll sell, maybe we won't. Maybe I'll buy a second home, maybe I won't. Yeah, we're thinking of selling, but maybe we'll give it to our kids. They have a lot of options. If you've got a house and you've got a job and you've got certain, you know, as the housing becomes more, you know, people just you have a house, you know, their options become less and the game changes a little bit. I'm sure there's a lot of takeaways for what I'm saying. I mean, I do mostly deal, and I do sell $1 million houses.
But you also sell the Playboy Mansion, and
I sold the Playboy Mansion for $105 million, which I can work into any conversation, by the way. And I remember Tom Ferry asked me when I sold it, literally the day after I sold it, we were at this conference. He goes, "What are you going to do for an encore?" And I said, "I don't know. I didn't know what to say," which is not often. So how do you beat it? I mean, it was the biggest sale of a single family home ever in Los Angeles, ever. And it was the biggest sale of the year in the United States. I said to him, in front of 3,000 people, "I don't know if it's possible." And then I remember he was kind of pushing me, and I go, "You know what? I'm going to sell something more expensive." I didn't know it was possible at the time. It never it occurred. No one ever sold anything over 100. Within 2 years, I sold a house for 150. And so it's interesting. Now I'm just, you know, pretty much, I just, you know, sell 10, 20, $30 million houses, affordable housing. You know, those people deserve it, is just like the rich people. I'm being really sarcastic here.
No, but you do sell the normal homes. Like you've been,
oh yeah,
you know, you do sold have a, home. A, you do have a just, niche, right? Like
In the big one, I sell a few really big houses a year. I sold a house last year for $1.2 million. Hey, listen, I love that. You know, house. If I just relied on those, what I call Super Bowl rings, I could, it would be good. I mean, no, I'm selling houses to my sphere of influences, people I like, houses I like, and they come in all shapes and sizes.
Well, look, I mean, Gary and I had a transaction together in where was it, Bel Air? And it was a, yep. You know, arguably a teardown. Like it really should have been a torn down. And Gary helped me, you know, find the buyer, list it, sell it, and, you know, normal transaction.
Like, how much was it, 2 or something like that? Or less?
I think it was less than 2.
It was less than 2. And it was 26 offers and a shit ton of money, but I'm now, you know, going to sell that house again. And someone did a spec house on it. So,
yeah.
And that client I could do business with. I mean, so that's just how, yeah. So nothing's better than just knocking down $1 million sales all day long. I don't know. Is that like average where you are? Or is it?
No, our average is like 700, 800.
Yeah, it's a lot more frequent. I love where you guys live, by the way.
Well, you know, I got an agent out here that can help you buy something.
Now, there's something, there's some, every time I go up to Santa Barbara, I always stop in that little Ventura, like 50s place that looks so cool. And I end up at the same restaurant. It's like Nature's Grill or something like that.
Yeah. Ring a bell? It was just for sale. You could have bought it.
Oh, and I ended up, I didn't even try. I just ended up, I go, that looks good. It was the same place like 3 times in a row. Yeah. There's also a cool taco place up there in Santa Barbara.
All right. My last question for you.
What?
Handwritten notes. Do you write them?
I am the most dyslexic person there is. I do not. Oh, no. My penmanship is, no, I don't. Now, I have been looking into, there's some pretty extraordinary services that will send something that either is handwritten by someone else or appears handwritten, like even where the ink can,
yeah,
it appears handwritten, the ink can actually smear. And I was considering it. And I know it can be impactful, but it also can be a little weird. I don't know. There's certain things.
Well, I know you're in. You do the Tom Ferry coaching, and Tom Ferry promotes the write your notes stuff.
I can't. If anyone got to write a note for me, they would say this guy needs medication. I'm not going to
say that about me too.
Yeah, I'm not going to handwrite a note, but I would send a note. And I thought about it, sending some cool note. Yeah, problem with notes is it's very. People will notice it, but it takes a lot of time. I want to follow up with a text, an email, a phone call. That's my jam, those three.
Very well, you impactful. Are having that personal interaction, nonetheless.
I am high touch, yes. That being said, I have looked into it. I've got it right here. These, when I've been to some conferences where the services, you can send it, you can send something on an app. I want to write this note to these people, and for 75 cents a buck, something like that, they end up getting it, and it's cool, it has a vibe, and I do like that. I would not do it with some inspirational quote or some dog on it or anything. I don't like that crap. Even though I like my dog.
Yeah, your dog's cute. Well, thank you so much, Gary, for joining us this morning. You are
welcome.
Amazing. And again, thank you for everything you've done for me, mentoring me at conferences and letting me be your shadow.
There you go. Well, nice meeting you all, and go get them. Be careful out there.
Thank you.
Raining. Thank you, Gary.
Bye.
Bye.